I've been asked to explain and go over some things on the air. You know, the Word of God is real plain in telling us what kind of things that people can and can't do. Jesus said one place that you know a tree by its fruit. Said a good tree cannot bear corrupt fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bear good fruit. So you'll know by the fruit what kind of a tree it is. And the Word of God teaches us that the flesh and the spirit are contrary one to the other. If you got your Bibles, go in the Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the spirit. Ye are not under the law. Now listen, these things that I'm going to read are called the works of the flesh. And there's 17 of them, and I'm going to go through them one at a time. If we don't get done today, we'll carry it over to the next program. So now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery. Adultery is an extramarital sexual relationship entered into by a married person. I'm going to go through these things and give you the definitions on them, and some of them don't need any explanation, and the ones that I feel like do, I may enlarge a little bit upon them. Fornication. Fornication is an illicit sexual relationship entered into by someone not married. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 5, 27 and 28. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. This is the reason that I teach that a young man and woman who are not married should keep their hands to themselves. A couple, even though engaged, should not have their arms around one another or kissing on one another. Satan is just looking for a place to get at you. Paul said in the fourth chapter of Ephesians to give no place to the devil. And if you don't keep your hands to yourself, you give an opportunity for the wrong things to enter your mind. In James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, the Word of God tells us, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and is enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. So if you don't give place for one another to be enticed, then it will be harder for Satan to tempt you. These are the ones we hear the most about, adultery and fornication, but there are 15 others listed. Listen. Uncleanliness. Uncleanliness is moral impurity. And one of the most hideous things in the world is the spirit of uncleanliness. Paul tells us what uncleanliness is in Romans chapter 1, verses 24 to 27. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which is meat. And this is what the world calls a homosexual or lesbian spirit. And today, there's the same spirit under a different name. It's called oral sex. If a man and woman do that which is not natural, then Paul said it was uncleanness. Some people try to say that the marriage bed is undefiled and all, but that's not what the Word of God says. It says marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers will God judge. And this is just talking about that which is done outside the sanctity of marriage would be fornication, not that which is not the natural use of the body. Marriage is honorable in all of us. That's an honorable state that was instituted by God, and the bed is undefiled. And when it talks about the bed being undefiled, it's talking about fornication. So it's not talking about going into this unclean spirit which is in the world today. And this thing has got a hold of people and is dishonoring your own body. The Word of God taught like that was the worst sin that a person could commit, was to dishonor their own body. I could talk about this a long time, but I'm not going to go into it any further. If you got any questions, you can write or call me about it. Let's go on. Lasciviousness. This is shameless conduct, indecency, without restraint. We live under grace now, and Jude said that some men would turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. All it is just unrestrained lust. Idolatry, the worship of idols. Now back in olden times, they actually had idols that they worshipped and burned incense to. But now today, this gets down to where this is anything that you let come between you and God. Paul said in the 3rd chapter of Colossians that covetousness was idolatry. Covetousness is to fix the desire upon, to long for. And this is for things that we don't need. Paul told us to covet the best gifts, and we can desire good things. Witchcraft. You know, a lot of people don't believe in witches, but this is practiced today just as it was in the days of old. Astrology is witchcraft. And a lot of people won't do anything until they consult their horoscope. It was used in olden days to predict things. It was satanic then, and it is today. I've had people tell me that it was exactly right concerning them. Of course it would be. Satan controls the world. He showed Jesus all the kings of the world and said, "All this will I give you, for it is delivered unto me, and I give it to whomsoever I will." A lot of old wise fables are from witchcraft. Superstition is a big part of witchcraft. If you trace them back, you'll find they had their beginnings in witchcraft. A black cat crossing your path, this came from witches and sorcerers using them as a medium for their spells. Throwing salt over your shoulder, knocking on wood, walking under a ladder, breaking a mirror, practically all superstition concerning good or bad luck grew out of witchcraft. Be careful, children of God, what you do. Hatred. Hatred is the opposite of love. It's enmity against your fellow man. It gets all the way down to having an ill will towards someone with or without a cause. You know what an ill will is? It's an unfriendly feeling or dislike for someone. Boy, when you say, "I don't like somebody," and you read this, it might make a little fear come on you. Variance is a change or difference which causes controversy, a state of discord or disagreement. People who change with every wind of doctrine and cause problems in the church set people at variance with one another. And the Word of God tells us to be no more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. We need to be established in the truth. Emulation. Emulation is a desire to exceed or excel, wanting to have more or nicer things than somebody else. Always wanting to be the top dog, so to speak. That's emulation. It don't matter, children of God, how much you have, as long as you're not desiring to exceed or excel other people. But if you got a little and you're desiring to exceed or excel other folks, then you're getting into the 17 works of the flesh. And these things are sin. Wrath, a sudden burst of anger without any forethought. And it causes you sometimes to do things for revenge. Grabbing up your children as an example and whipping them in anger is awfully, awfully close to wrath. Be careful, children of God, what you do and what you say. Strife. Strife is enmity against your fellow man. And strife is the expression of that enmity which causes discord among the brethren. It is to argue and be contentious. And Paul said we have no such custom. You can express it by your actions are your words. Seditions. Sedition is a stirring up of discontent against or resistance to the authority that is over you. The Word of God is the authority that we're under. It's ministered to us through the gifts in the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. If you resist or stir up discontent against those gifts God set in the church, it is sedition. Hebrews 13:7 tells us, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." And that word conversation ain't words. That means your life. You're to follow that man that God has given a ministering gift to and to watch his life. If he teaches something contrary to the Word of God, or if his life doesn't measure up to what he preaches, then just stand still and wait on God. I don't want anybody to follow me blindly. I tell the people at my church to study the Word of God. And then if I get up there and begin to teach something wrong, they'll know that I'm teaching something wrong. I can't understand a minister getting up and telling his people not to read the Word of God. The Word of God is that's where our hope is. That's where our help is. That's where our directions of how to get from this world to the glory world is. And I want my people, not my people, they're God's people, but I want the people at the church where I minister to study the Bibles, to really get into them. And then if I get up there and go off on some contingency or some half-baked idea, then they'll know that that's not the Word of God. And all I know that I'm a man and that I'm subject to human failings, and I want to be led by God above everything. But be careful. Don't talk against that man of God. Don't run him down. Be careful, children of God. Don't stir up strife and envy against him. He's a man. He's trying to get to heaven like you are. He's got a job that he's got to do, and you've got one you've got to do. Let him do his. Don't stir up things against him. Let's go on to the next one. Heresies. A heresy is a chosen, self-willed opinion which is substituted for submission to the truth. Now, that sounded like a pretty good definition, but what does that mean, Brother Billy? Well, that means that God's law and His Word is truth. It doesn't change it a bit if we decide that it means something different than what God put down there. It's still the truth. It doesn't change. But when we get a self-willed opinion and substitute that as God's Word so that we won't have to be in submission to the truth, then it's heresy. It's coming up with false doctrines. And, you know, when we talk about coming up with false doctrines, somebody might say, "Yeah, I know this stuff about Mary and all that." Well, yeah, that's part of it. But do you know that a chosen, self-willed opinion, if the Word of God says that it's a shame for a man to have long hair, and you get in here and say, "Well, how long is long? I don't think it's long as I don't let it hang too far over my collar." Well, that's a chosen, self-willed opinion so that you can substitute for the truth so that you don't have to come to the truth. And that's heresy. Anything that you change about God's Word to let it conform to what you want is heresy. We can't conform God's Word to us. Children of God, we must conform to God's Word. And you know, it's so simple to me. The whole thing is that we have got to love God more than we love anything, including ourselves. And if we do, we won't be guilty of any of these things. But again, heresy is changing the Word of God so that you can do what you want to do. And we've got an awfully, awfully lot of people that seem to be doing that. Now, let me go on out before I want to get through all of these and not run out of time today, if possible. So let me go on. Envyings. Envying is a feeling of displeasure because of the advantage or prosperity of others. Envy and jealousy are real close to the same thing. But jealousy wants to have what the other person has, while envy wants to deprive them of it. Jealousy wants to get it from them, and envy just don't want them to have it at all. Murderers. Naturally speaking, to murder somebody is to kill someone to take their life. Spiritually, we can take our brother's life in a lot of ways. We can talk about them and cause people's confidence in them to die. We can mistreat them and cause them to become discouraged and faint in their minds. The Word of God says offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom they come. And you know, Word of God tells us too that the tongue is an unruly member, that nobody can tame that tongue. And all it gets away and it gets us in more trouble than any one thing does. Let me go on and finish these. Drunkenness. This has been in a stupor due to drinking beverages with alcohol. Spiritually, we can be drunk on the cares of this life. A drunken person doesn't have control of themselves. They will stagger and fall. If they're driving a car, they maybe have a wreck. And spiritually drunk people are choked with cares and pleasures and lust of everything. The Word of God teaches us to be sober. And the way to stay sober is to eat and drink the Word of God. Reveling. Reveling is riotous living, boisterous, loud merrymaking. And it's usually the result of drunkenness. It's being without restraint in your lifestyle. Foolishness, carrying on, which is not becoming to a child of God. And it usually follows drunkenness. And spiritually speaking, when a person gets drunk on the things of this world, they get more and more boisterous and merrymaking and carry on with more and more foolishness. And the Word of God said, and such like. And that means being the same in quality or kind. And when you get here, you realize how fearful it is to fall in the hands of a living God. Solomon said in the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Brethren, when we leave this world, our works are going to follow us. And if they're good, it'll be well with us. But if they're not, then oh, how bad it'll be to hear Him say, depart, depart into everlasting darkness. If we fear God and are led by the Spirit that's within us, if we listen, it'll cause us to know what to do and what not to do. God will place us on His right and say, come, you blessed of mine. Be careful and fear God. All these things that I've been talking about are things that we died to when we received salvation. And we'll have to keep dying to them daily. The warfare is between the flesh and the spirit. And these are contrary one to the other. And these things will present themselves to us. And we need to know what they are and to be able to recognize them. My advice is to write these things down and read them at least once a week until you know them by heart. We need to know how to do, children of God, and need to know. You know, I tell people a lot of times when I was a child growing up, as I grew up, I learned, and I knew that adultery was wrong. I knew that fornication was wrong. I knew that murder was wrong. I knew you weren't supposed to get drunk. But not very many people know what sedition is, or heresy, or lasciviousness. And these are things that the Word of God tells us that if we do these things, that we won't make it. Listen to what He said. And such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And all today, it's so important that we live in a way that our fruit will be good. I'm going to try my best, friends, that if this is the kind of, if people want me to do these kind of things, to go through the Word of God and do several of these things. There's several other things in the Word of God that, this is 17 things here in the first chapter of Romans. Has got 23 different things that are mentioned that the Word of God said that they that do them are worthy of death, not only do those things, but have pleasure in them that do them. And I will go through these things and go over them and talk about them as time goes on. And I realize that today I just went through these definitions and done them. But you know, so many times I find that there are people out there in the world that go to church and are good folks, and they never hear a minister get up and teach these things. And they don't even realize that the Word of God says that if you do these things, that you can't go to that good place that the Lord has prepared. And there's so many people today that are teaching just anybody can go. I heard a man, you know, and teaching that sin can go. And it's kind of like one guy said one time, well, if you can sin and go to heaven, what do you got to do to go to hell? And oh, it's a serious thing. The Word of God said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And we need so bad to keep that fear about us. The Word of God tells us that we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Satan, our adversary, is out there trying to overcome us. He's out there fighting on every hand. And children of God, we need to fight back. We've got the weapons to fight with, and we need to be careful how we walk. Walk in a way. I'd like to walk in a way that when I walk down the street, that people would say there's something about that man. That when they speak to me and talk to me, that they know that I was one of God's children. I heard a man say one time, and it made me think a lot. He was making a speech, and when he got done making the speech and he come down off the podium that night, somebody come up to him and said, "Sir," said, "when you were making that speech, said, I got the distinct impression that you was a Christian." And he said, "Well, friend," he said, "if all you got was an impression," he said, "I need to clean up my act. I don't want nobody to get the impression that I'm a child of God. I want them to know that I'm one of God's children." The Word of God said you know them by the fruits, and I want my life to bear out the Word of God. I want my life to bear the fruit of the Word of God. Now, here in this same chapter, we've got the fruit of the Spirit, and we'll get into them another day. Our time is running short. But oh, I appreciate so much this opportunity. I appreciate so much you allowing me to come into your home and talk to you. I know today, as I say so many times, we need encouragement. We need to be told that we can make it. We need to be told that Jesus will go with us all the way, even unto the end of the world. There's so many people today that profess in salvation, and there's so many people out there that are being told that they just profess salvation and they're going to make it. I heard one man say, "You got salvation, you're going to go to heaven, you can enjoy it or endure it." And people need to know that that's not what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God teaches us that there's joy in serving God, and it teaches us that we must conform our lives to His image. And all today, it's so important that we do that. And I beg you to take this and the things that I've said, to get your Bible down. Study that fifth chapter of Galatians. Study it. The very first verse says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein you were called, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. When you get back out there into that world, you're in trouble. When you get back out there and start doing the things that you died to, the Word of God said, "He that taketh hold of the plow looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God." Now, we're about to run out of time, but I want to tell you again that I'm so thankful to be able to come into your home and to teach the Word of God. If you've got anything that you want me to talk on or any questions you want me to answer, if you'll write me or call me, I'll be so happy to try to do that. Until next time, this is Brother Billy saying, may the God of all peace keep your souls till we meet again. Amen.